This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, this hour of Brock and Salk brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Jake Heaps is in for Brock this morning. We've been having a lot of fun talking, getting ready for a really fun weekend of football. Huskies tomorrow at Utah. Cougs waiting for Eastern Washington to show up. And, of course, Monday night football in Chicago. Yeah, that's where Russell's... Yeah. That's really where Russell's legend started, I think.
That was the big win that kind of got...
What a fun game.
Yeah, it was a really fun one. And he needed it. There was a lot of... kind of behind-the-scenes controversy going into that game, and he kind of answered the challenge with that win.
So funny, man. From day one, there's just a lot of polarization around Russ. He is as polarizing as quarterbacks get, and we were talking about this for a while yesterday. It's because he just doesn't fit into a nice, neat box. It's hard for people to categorize Russell.
Right.
He's not Joe Flacco. He's not, you know, stand tall in the pocket, 6'5", looks the part, guns it down the field, huge arm. And easy for every, okay, I know what that looks like. I know the prototype. You're Joe Flacco. I know what you look like, and okay.
Right.
But he's not just an athlete who runs around. He's not, I mean, Tyrod Taylor's maybe not the best example, but he's not just a guy who runs around who's inaccurate but can make some plays.
Correct.
You know, back in the day, Michael Bishop, Brock and I happened to be talking about him, was a good example of this. A guy who was unbelievable athlete and could throw the ball like 100 yards in the air, but he just didn't understand the game, wasn't a real quarterback. Russell is in a weird spot, almost by himself.
He's a unique guy. I would say he's all by himself. He's kind of in a category all by himself. I would say that, you know, he's an elite runner, an elite athlete, and he's got the ability to be an elite passer in this league. I mean, you just said it. He's not a big guy that sits in the pocket. Okay, Drew Brees, he's 6 foot. He sits in the pocket and is dealing. And Russell isn't that guy. You know, he's going to make plays. He's going to extend. He's going to do some things. And he has this ability to do freakish things and make throws that no one can make on the run. You know, it's just, I hope Seattle fans understand how special this guy is. And I hope we don't take him.
Well, and the NFL seems to be adjusting a little bit to this new thing that they're not sure what to do with. I mean, you see Deshaun Watson, who's somewhat in that mold. You see Dak Prescott, who's somewhat in that mold. And I'm not trying to say they're the exact same player. They're not. But they sort of are trying to build that type of prototype where we're starting to develop a new category of quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, because of the height and because the Seahawks offense has had such a bad offensive line for the last 4 years, I think everything Russell has done is just different. And I found myself thinking about this yesterday watching Alex Collins, who's good.
Yeah.
Alex Collins is a good running back. I say that with great pride because I was so unbelievably excited the day they drafted him after watching like 10 of his games at Arkansas. Like, he's good.
Yeah.
And when you watch him out there running with a real offensive line, you realize how unbelievably irritating it is that the Seahawks let him go and then spent a first-round pick on Rashad Penny a year later. And I still think Penny may end up being good.
Yeah.
But Collins is already good, and you had him for a late-round pick, and you could have had him and Chris Carson as your tandem back there. But because this offensive line has been such a joke for the last 3 or 4 years, you were never able to find out that Alex Collins was good. You were never able to find out, and you're never able to see everything that Russell can do from the pocket.
Right.
Because he can't get protection for longer than a split second to do it. So with all that being said, you kind of fast forward to today or for Monday, and you look at a situation where Doug Baldwin's not going to play.
Yep.
You're going to face Khalil Mack. DJ Fluker is probably not going to play. And you, on the other side with your defense, KJ Wright is out. Who knows what's going to happen here with Trey Flowers, who already, according to Pro Football Focus, was the worst cornerback in the league last week. You're rotating some guys in.
Yeah.
And now Bobby Wagner may have an injury. Which unit do you feel better about heading into this week? And by the way, I'll throw in special teams there as well, where you feel great about your punter. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
He's a beast.
He's the best I've ever seen and anyone's ever seen.
So fun.
You don't feel good about your kicker. You feel okay, maybe, about your two return games? So just give me an overall assessment heading into this game. 206-421-3776. Do you feel best about the offense, the defense, or the special teams?
You know, to me, I think I'm with Brock. To me, it's a no-brainer. To me, it's the offense. I think this is an offensive-driven team this year. When you look at what happened last week with the defense, you've got Earl Thomas, you've got Bradley McDougal, you got Bobby Wagner. Those are the three guys, and hopefully when KJ Wright comes back, those are the four guys, and one of them's out, that you can count on to be assignment sound, to be in the right place most of the time.
And that's about it.
And that's about it. Everybody else is a question mark. Everybody else you're hoping develops into this player. Think about it. We went into week one with two guys that have at will linebacker that have never played a real NFL snap. And you saw what happened in Kalitro and Griffin. Now, that's not an indictment on their future. But when I came on last time, I said, look, Griffin is a nice player. He's going to be a great addition to the special teams. He is not ready. He's not ready to do some things. And I saw a soundbite from Coach Carroll about Griffin. And he said, look, there are some things that take time. It doesn't happen in the first year in terms of run fits, learning how to properly fit in the run game at the NFL level. And I thought it was fascinating. And he said, sometimes it happens in a year. Sometimes it takes 2 years. And so you're looking at a guy that just has gotten thrown into the fire, has been asked to, you know, come in and start just before he's ready.
And you think that those mistakes were mental, not physical?
Yes. I think they were more.
And that's probably mental. A good thing, right? I mean, yes. Like the concern about Shaquem Griffin coming out of college is, okay, he's got one hand. Can he do all the physical things necessary to shed blockers and make tackles and make plays on the ball, et cetera? And you're saying that wasn't the issue.
There's
on
only
Sunday.
One time that came up. He had an opportunity to make a tackle on Demaryius Thomas.
Sort of that one-handed, obviously, but he had a sort of dove for his feet. Was that the one?
Yes, yeah, and he had him, but he wasn't able to quite wrap up. Mm. And, you know, and that's part of the deal, right? But to me, it was more mental mistakes than anything, not being able to fit in the run game, being hesitant. And so those are things that you just can't have with this group. You cannot have it, and that's why we're seeing Kendricks on the field. So this offense is going to have to answer the challenge. And, you know, this is a group, again, that's unproven. I like the potential of this team. There's a lot of chemistry that will be built. You'll see a lot more Brandon Marshall, I would guess. So we're going to see what this team turns into, and I think the offense is going to be more prepared. They're going to be more dialed in, and I think they'll be ready to go.
Yeah, I'll unfortunately say the same thing. I'll say the offense as well, although I think I'm I don't feel it nearly as comfortably as you and Brock do.
I don't think it's necessarily because the offense is so much better than the defense,
right?
But I think it's the surest thing that we have.
I think part of it for me is going to be the matchup, though. And so I'll make a case how I feel about the offense here in a moment. If I were going to try to make a case for the defense, some of it would center around who they're playing. I don't think Mitchell Trubisky is very good. Let me just start there. Yeah. I don't think Trubisky is very good. I think he's going to continue to give you opportunities just as Case Keenum did last week. I don't think he's that good, and I don't think that Bears offense is all that good. I think the Bears defense might be, and obviously Khalil Mack is a huge challenge for anybody.
They're a top 10 NFL defense.
They may very well be when this season is done, especially with Khalil Mack and their ability to get to the passer. I mean, they've got some people on that defense that are going to be good, and that's the way it's supposed to be. They're the Chicago Bears, after all. Part of being the Chicago Bears means your quarterback stinks. It's just a rule. Like, if you go there to play quarterback, you can't be good. They have, like, I have a buddy who's a huge Bears fan, and he will occasionally just start, like, listing names of Bears quarterbacks since Jim McMahon, and it's nuts. There are some of the worst quarterbacks.
Kyle Orton?
Kyle Orton might be the best of the bunch. Don't even rip Kyle Orton compared to some of the guys.
They had Rick Meyer there.
There's a guy named, I think, Caleb or something who's on that list. There are some names. If you Google it and start looking through the names of Bears quarterbacks, there's a lot of terrible. And maybe Trubisky will end up being good. I watched that game last week, and I know he had a couple of nice plays early.
Yeah.
But I also saw him completely wet the bed in a two-minute drill at the end of the game, where twice, really, he was stopped. Once he got bailed out by a penalty, and then he failed again. So
lots of question marks with him.
Yeah, and Jordan Howard's fine. Like, he's okay. He's a good running back. But I would really look for this defense to step up. And so if you want to make an argument that it's the defense, that's probably what it centers on. For me, though, I'll still probably take the offense. And really, it's about one guy. It's about Russell Wilson. It's about a belief that Russell won't have a second off game in a row. And I don't think he was that bad on Sunday. I didn't think he was the problem, but he wasn't his best.
He wasn't his best.
And I wouldn't expect Russell to have a second off game in a row. I can't think of a time he's ever done that.
No, I really think that this offense is going to bounce back, so to speak. I think they're going to be a little bit more committed to the run game. I think it's ironic when they say, run the ball, and then on third and one, they do a play action pass. So, you know, there's certain elements that you'd say, okay, well, if you're committed to the run, then you're going to run the ball. I mean, you know, in those situations when you had Marshawn and that group, they ran the football.
I want to come back and ask you more about that because that's been sort of a big topic of conversation on the station all week. Did they run the ball enough? We'll get back to that in a second. 206-421-3776. See if we can hear from you guys a little bit. What do you think? Where's your confidence level at? Excuse me. Is it higher in the offense, defense, or I guess special teams heading into Monday night? We'll grab Isaiah, who is in Yakima. Isaiah, where are you at?
Yakima.
No, I mean, where do you? I know where you are. I mean, yes,
perfect answer.
Fair.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's on me.
Obvious salt. Come on,
Isaiah. Let me own that one. That's on me. It's a bad question.
No, I side with the offense, and like you said, if I'm Russell Wilson, I think he's going to make the smart plays as opposed to doing his pirouette 180 spin into sack. I think I'm closer. Given another week of performance of the defense, I might change sides, but right now it's going to be on Russell Wilson to get the job done on the road.
Hmm. I would tend to agree. I mean, again, I think Russell's probably the biggest reason how they get it done. Do they run the ball more this week, Jake?
I definitely think they run the ball more, for sure. There's no question to me that they'll run the ball more. And I think when you talk about, you know, Coach Carroll and the offense, I mean, you know, one of their biggest answers was we just weren't on the field enough. And there is some validity to that. But again, like I pointed out, there's certain situations where you go, okay, if you're really committed to the run game, this is an obvious situation where you're going to prove what you're all about in the run game. And so I think they will, when they get in those situations again, I think they will run the ball. And I think it's just going to benefit the offense overall.
Yeah.
And like you said, Russell wasn't his absolute best. But when I study the tape, there's really a couple of things that stood out to me. You know, the end of half situations, the 2-minute situations weren't executed well. The one going into halftime, he takes the sack on second down, which essentially ends it right there. And then the end of the game, the fumble. Those are the two things that you would love to have back. And there was some opportunities, like I said, some missed throws that happened, but it was a lot of it was due to the pressure that he was feeling. And a lot, if you notice in the game, there were a couple that he sailed, and it was because he had dudes right in his face. He couldn't step into the throw. He couldn't finish it. And those are throws that you want to be able to complete.
And by the way, spare me on the he's short there, because I watched Joe Flacco do that last night. Joe Flacco's what, 6'6"? I mean, he's a giant out there.
Big dude.
He's a big dude.
It has nothing
Did
to
you
do
see
with
the
that.
Pick he threw with a guy directly in his face where it ends up kind of getting tossed up for grabs? It was sort of tipped as he's hit a little bit as he throws.
Right.
And even though he had a guy deep down the field, the ball gets, you know, duck up in the air and it gets picked off by the free safety. Like, it's not just a Russell problem, but for some reason there's this belief that that can never happen to Russell and it never happens to anyone else and only happens to him. I don't see it. 206-421-3776. Grab Taylor, who's in Tacoma. What's up, Taylor?
What's going on, Mike and Jake? Hey, I just wanted to call in. I'm more confident in the defense. I think with Earl coming back in his second game, I think we'll stabilize the defense, and I really think we've got a lot of talent on the defense compared to the offense right now.
Hmm.
And with Doug out for, you know, the foreseeable future, and I'm not sure if Lockett can handle that kind of workload. So I have way more confidence in the defense.
I think it's a good question on weaponry, right? I mean, essentially, just do they have enough weaponry outside on offense?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think the point that he made is actually an interesting one. Can Tyler Lockett fill in the role of Doug Baldwin?
Can he?
And, you know,
Him to, or does he just need to be Tyler Lockett and you ask somebody else to be Doug Baldwin?
Well, I think they answered that question by bringing in Reynolds.
Yeah.
You know, I think
new Doug.
Yeah, they brought in Reynolds to fill in that role, and he played that role during the preseason. And so I don't think you're going to see Tyler in the slot a whole bunch. I think you're going to see him in his normal spot, which is fascinating to me. I think Tyler can play that role. But they're going to rely on Reynolds to fill in that spot. And I know that Russell has, you know, developed chemistry over practice.
If you are starting that quarterback on Monday night for the Seahawks, who do you want to throw the ball to?
To me, it's Brandon Marshall.
You want to throw the ball to Marshall.
I want to throw the ball to Marshall. I want to develop that workhorse. I want to get him excited. I want to get him ready to roll because I'm going to need him.
Right.
This is why I'm more confident in the defense this week.
Because
we're talking about Brandon Marshall being like, this is Chris Carson. I like him. He's flashed. He's played like 5 NFL games and averaged less than 50 yards a game. Rashad Penny, pretty disappointing week one. Tyler Lockett's the number one pass-catching option. And on defense, you've got Bobby Wagner, Earl Thomas, Michael Kendricks, y'all, going up against Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, I think there's a good argument to be made there.
And that doesn't even mention Khalil Mack against Jermaine Ifedi for 4 quarters.
Kyle, I think you make a really, really good argument. At the end of the day, Russell Wilson's going to trumpet for me, but I think that you've got a pretty good
Russell
argument
Wilson
to be made.
And
I know. Littering and Russell Wilson.
Like, we're talking well, real right.
How about Russell
and
Wilson
Brandon
in a
Marshall
running
here?
Game? Is that too much to ask
what
for?
What running game?
A running game that, for whatever reason, they weren't interested in trying in Denver. A running game that has
and
Chris
why
Carson.
Why weren't they interested a in running trying game? It? Because it's not
know.
That good.
I don't know. It's like they get drunk the moment the game starts and start and forget how to run the ball or how to try. I have to imagine that they will make a more of a concerted effort and have some success running it this weekend.
They will.
You think?
They will. They will. I all mean, right. Here's the thing.
Jake says they will.
Yes,
so
yes, yes, all of that.
Exactly. Yes, 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 and yes. Yes, all of that. 206-421-3776.
Yeah, well, yes, yes and yes and yes, all of that.
Thank you, Coach. Maybe somebody will say special teams. I want to see. Where do you have their most confidence this weekend? Jake Heaps is in with us, 206-421-3776. Kendall's our guy in Santa Monica. Kendall, what do you think? Offense, defense, special teams?
Hey, guys, I'm feeling offense, and that's mainly because if you've been watching Seahawks football for the last 2 years, it has been just such a bag of just really hard to watch stuff. And the thing you see in the preseason and what I saw at the Denver game on the first drive is they looked like a real professional offense. And, you know, Pete Carroll teams are all about building and moving forward. So just seeing that, like, hey, this team actually looks okay. Yeah, they could have scored more points. They left some on the board. But that honestly gave me just a strange feeling after that loss because I actually felt good about the direction the offense is headed in.
Appreciate the phone call, man, as always. And I agree. I thought there were some moments where the offense looked good. There's also some times you're just like, I just don't understand why they don't look more normal.
Yeah.
I just think it's the line.
I think Kendall brings up a great point. I think, look, the reaction to me after week one was fascinating. And I get it. It's sports talk radio. It's, you know, the fan base. But the upheaval of the way things went was interesting. It's week one. I think we've seen the Patriots, for example, Tom Brady. They, time after time, haven't necessarily looked as clean in their first couple weeks of the NFL season. So I think we're still seeing this team develop, and there's so many questions. There's so many questions on offense. We're trying to see who steps up, right? We're talking about Brandon Marshall. Can he step up? Can Tyler Lockett fill in the void? Can we get the run game going? I think there's some questions here, and I think they have the opportunity to answer. On defense, can we avoid the big plays? Can we avoid? And I think Bradley McDougal said it very well after the game. There were just too many mistakes in communication. There were too many mistakes in that area, and I think that's something that will be emphasized this week. Doesn't mean that it's going to be perfect, but I think they're really going to make a conceded effort to fix that.
All right, we're going to take some more of your calls. In the meantime, I have a real quick game show for you. You want to play a spur-of-the-moment game show?
Ooh, here we go.
We haven't practiced this. This is out of nowhere. You guys can all participate. Lydia, Kyle, you guys are welcome. The game is, and I'm looking at a list of every starting quarterback in the history of the Chicago Bears. I'm going to name the quarterback. You have to name the decade.
Oh, wow.
Okay. All you've got to do, and I'm going to go from, I mean, really, I could go from the 20s.
Are we keeping score?
Yep.
Please don't go from the 20s.
All right, when do you want me to start? The 50s? I'll start
in the
50s.
All of us were born in the 80s.
But that's fine.
So
that's fine.
You tell me.
I'm going to start in the 50s. I'll start in the 60s to keep it fair. I'll start in the 60s. 60s through now, I'll name you the quarterback. You give me the decade. Ready? Some will be easier than others. Eric Kramer.
90s.
Ding.
Dang it.
Peter Tom Willis.
70s.
70s.
90s.
Dang it.
What? Peter Tom?
Dude, there's a list of people here, man.
These guys started?
Starting quarterbacks.
Unbelievable.
Jack Concannon.
60s.
That's an 80s.
70s and 60s. 60s and 70s.
60s.
Okay, late 60s, early 70s. Henry Burris.
90s.
80s.
2002.
What?
Henry Burris.
Never heard of that.
I'm telling you. Bobby Douglas.
2000s.
80s.
70s.
Ugh.
I mean, we're not on.
Gary Huff.
80s.
70s.
70s.
He's smoking me right now.
Hold on. I got some others here. Jonathan Quinn.
That's 2000.
2004. Chad Hutchinson.
2000.
Also 2004.
Yeah. There's a point. On the board.
Caleb Haney.
90s.
2000.
2011.
Yeah, I was going to say 10s. I didn't know.
2011. Steve Stenstrom.
90s.
Late 90s, 1998. Moses Moreno.
60s.
80s.
Also 1998.
Ah! Moses?
Moses Moreno started a game for the Bears in 1998. Craig Krenzel, that's probably too easy.
2000.
2004. Ohio State kid, right?
Yeah.
I think he started their opener one year.
God. He's like a Joe Germain era guy, Ohio State.
Anyway, there's probably some others on. All right, here's one more for you. Steve Fuller.
90s.
1986.
Oh, he's how got, about, that's a classic.
How about
80s, 90s,
Mike yeah. Hohensie?
70s.
1987.
Ah, 80s, yes.
Steve Bradley. I've never heard of these people.
2000.
1987. Jeez. In 87, they started Jim McMahon, Mike Tomczak, Mike Hohensie, and Steve Bradley. Doug Flutie for the win.
90s, 2000s, 80s, all of the above.
1986.
Jeez.
That's where he was drafted.
Just kept playing and he was playing. Or playing.
He, that's where he originally went, was to there. All right, there you go. That's a quick game show on how bad the starting quarterback situation has been. Did I get to Caleb Haney?
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
he started a game in 2011. Four games for them in 2011.
Two
I didn't mention Jimmy Clausen, Brian Hoyer, Matt Barkley,
thousands,
Mike Glennon.
Thousands.
I mean, they're listed.
I would have crushed those, Mike.
Yeah. Rex Grossman, didn't Rex Grossman bring
start
him to the Super Bowl?
Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. I mean, like, why?
Battling Peyton Manning.
That was
Cordell
the only way
Stewart.
Peyton Manning was able to win a Super Bowl.
Seven games of Cordell Stewart, six games of Chris Chandler, but in 2003 when he was essentially a corpse. I mean, like,
hey, Chris Chandler's a Husky, right?
Shane Matthews, Jim Miller. Oh, my gosh. I mean, Steve Walsh. It is a list of challenged
Bill
quarterbacks.
Incredible.
Steve Walsh.
Here's, my, here's where
Steve
I bring
Walsh
this back
Florida.
To you. Okay, you went through that
yes.
whole list. Okay. You have a franchise guy in Russell Wilson, and you're saying to me that you're questioning whether to sign him?
Oh, I didn't say that. I said I'm questioning.
No, but I'm saying just in general.
It's a good question.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
You're saying you don't want that list.
No, I don't want that list.
You don't want to travel through the darkness.
Even when we were lucky to have as short of a stint from Hasselbeck to Wilson, right? Look at what happened in between those guys.
And I could sit here and probably we could pull the same thing, Miami Dolphins quarterback since
Absolutely.
Dan Marino, and that list is going to be just as undistinguished. So, all right, 206-421-3776. We got a bunch of you guys on the horn, so we can get right back to your calls. Offense, defense, special teams. Who are you looking at? Who you trust this week? It's Brock and Salk with Jake Heaps on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
All right, glad you guys woke up. We get you on the horn this morning. 206-421-3776 is this hour. Is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Jake Heaps is in. A lot of you like Jake so far, which is great. Everyone
it,
likes the new guy on the text machine always.
It's the backup quarterback, you know? Got no pressure. You just come in and let it rip.
Seems to be my lot in life, working with backup quarterbacks. It's like where I've been. So, yeah, I'm glad to hear you guys like Jake. I like him as well. Some people asking whether or not we're going to hear more of you. And I think we can't give, like, the full announcement of everything we're going to be doing. But
not yet.
More Jake to come, not just here, but especially at 710sports.com. If you've enjoyed a lot of what Jake's been doing on Twitter, at JTHeaps7.
JTHeaps9.
Nine, excuse me. I don't know why I have seven in my mind. Sorry.
Drew Brees, he's my guy.
Drew Brees, is that why you wore nine?
Yep, it was, yeah. All through Little League, everything.
Really?
I wanted to be like Brees.
As early as Little League, you wanted to be like Drew Brees.
Absolutely.
Was he even good then?
Yeah. He was good. Was he
with the Saints when you were in Little League?
No, but he was with San Diego. That's
so you were already worshiping Drew Brees when he was with the Chargers.
Yes.
That's rare.
Yes.
I mean, because he was good with the Chargers, they let him go.
Right. Well, which was, you know, fascinating. I mean, you trade one Hall of Famer for another, so.
You didn't want to go to Purdue?
Nah.
That didn't. No. didn't
Jake's going hipster Drew Brees. Like,
yeah.
I was on Drew Brees long
I was
before
a big Drew Brees
cool.
guy when he was actually just
Definitely.
A backup at Purdue. And as it turns out, he ended up being a great player.
Well, the Huskies beat him in the Rose Bowl, so maybe you're introduced to him.
I did actually watch that game very closely.
206-421-3776. All right, more to come with Jake either on Twitter and, of course, at 710sports.com and here on this show and the station, et cetera. But right now we're just asking you guys where your trust is for Monday night. Is it in the offense, defense, or special teams? We've taken mostly offensive calls, a few on the defense. Let me grab Bob in Tacoma with a different answer. What's up, Bob?
Hey, I like the punter.
Okay.
He's going to kick it down there four or five times a game, make Trubisky go 80 yards.
I
expect him to go 90. These new punters they got out there, right. Don't trust it. All right, hey,
Trubisky,
but hold on. You can't just take the punter. Special teams involves the kicking.
Not just
it
one
involves
guy.
Involves the return game. Like, if we could just take one guy, you could say, well, I'll take the offense. It's just Russell Wilson.
You did the same thing. Yeah, you said the same thing with Russell Wilson.
Well, but that's because I think he's going to be so good he overcomes the everything.
Get him,
else.
Bob. Get him.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, yeah, Salk did the same thing.
No,
Wilson,
I did nothing like that. No, that's not what I said. It's just that's my ultimate reasoning. So you think, in order to say that, you have to.
And it goes to Trubisky also. I don't think he can take it 80 yards five or six times without screwing it up. But
it.
You're right. I don't
I agree
have confidence in the field goal kicker. So that's what my take is.
All right. Good take, man. I like it. Way to back up your point. Don't back down.
That's right.
Me on that. Don't take any grief from
a lot
me.
Of guys come on and they call in and they get intimidated.
Know.
You know, he didn't back down.
No, I like that. We test
Salk gets on his bully pulpit and like backs you into a corner. All right. I was just saying something. I didn't really have a point to make.
It's part of the fun of this.
You better
isn't
come
it?
On with conviction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll just kind of wildly throw something out there, and then Salk will challenge and kind of drill down on the thinking. I'm
right.
like, I really didn't think this through.
The first time I came on this show, that happened to me.
Oh no!
Like three times.
Oh really?
And I'm like, gosh, this is rough, man. This is rough. I got
to
step my game up.
Do it to my kids, man. Cecily's four.
I am very calm.
Yeah, Cecily's four. I do that to her right now.
It's good.
She starts telling me a story. I'm like, all right, this doesn't follow. Hold on a minute. There were rhinoceroses at your school? Let's drill down a little bit deeper and find out
and
what you're talking about.
And why did you think that? Well, here's the trouble with your logic, Cecily.
206-421-3776. You know, I'm just trying to emulate my guy, Jack McCoy. That's all. Law and order. Lydia knows what I'm talking about. Nobody else. It's fine. Just trying to be more like McCoy. Don's in Seattle. Hi, Don.
Hey, Doc. How are you guys? Thanks for having me.
Good.
I had no idea that you were a Jack McCoy guy. In the
aren't
morning,
you?
Oh, well, when I drive in the morning, you drive me crazy sometimes. Like, but now I'm on you because, you know, we got something in common.
Did you like McCoy better or did you like Michael Moriarty better before that?
McCoy for sure.
Right? I mean, he's a legend at that. Thank
no
you.
Question.
All right.
No question.
Same side.
It's nice to be on the same page once in my travels. But anyway, you know, I watched, you know, you have Brock most days, and he's fantastic. Obviously, Jake's been great this morning. I think the big key for me is that it's always going to be the offense because of number three, and I think you have a great opportunity today. You know, you're just talking this morning about how horrible the offensive line's been for 3 or 4 years, and they've been a competitive club. It's because of number three. You got a guy in the office with you today that knows about him more than anybody you'll have on this stage. And I just don't think people understand how special three is. He's different. With the offensive line as bad as it was, and there's some other elite quarterbacks in the NFL, you put those elite guys on this team, and are they still going to win 10 games? Like I said, it's all about number three. He's unbelievable. I think he's misunderstood by people that aren't completely on board with him.
Yeah.
And you got a great guy like Jake to let the viewers and the listeners know how special this guy
yeah,
is.
Yeah, Don, you know, it's funny. You say you and I disagree a lot. I'd say we see that one dead on the same. I mean,
yeah, well, and the good thing the other day was, like, I didn't really know about the top five. We disagreed, and you actually put me on the top five. So I said, okay, this guy, you know, it's not just about him. So I do appreciate that.
Well, that's nice.
Like I said,
is that like a backhanded compliment? Like you thought I was just about me, and because I did something nice, now you know that I'm not as bad as you really thought? I don't know. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, there you go. No, I like when people disagree. I think that's part of the fun of sports radio. You can
absolutely
get on the top five by disagreeing. Sometimes that's the best way to do so. But look, Jake, how many franchise quarterbacks win 10 games with the roster the Seahawks have had?
I promise you, coming from this, seeing it up close, seeing what's going on, especially the last couple years, there's no one in the NFL that could have produced the way Russell.
No one. So Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers.
Come on, stop it.
Hey, how many times has he gotten hurt?
All right.
How many times has he gotten hurt? How good of an offensive line does he have compared
to... He and Brady, the one thing you will say, they may not have weaponry always, but they definitely have offensive lines.
Right.
But still, the Aaron Rodgers' ability to escape, come on.
I'm not saying he's not a beast. I'm not saying he's not the best in the league, but I'm saying... With the group that he has, is he as successful? Now,
look,
Salk, I hear you.
I love
he's
Russ.
He's been hurt.
I'm going to say Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, and Drew Brees all could have done it. Those are the guys that I would say could do it, and especially guys like Roethlisberger, because I think he would have handled a lot of the same problems that Russell's had pretty much the same way. We would have done it by, you know, showing everybody his injury, and even this week he's got a little elbow, and maybe he'll play, maybe not.
Right.
But Ben handles bad offensive lines and rushers
he
and
does.
All that stuff just fine.
He does, but I'm saying when you look at it as a whole, I'm not just talking about talent standpoint. I'm talking about from the standpoint of his durability. Mm-hmm. How many games has Russell missed?
Zero.
Right? With that group, okay? He's gotten the crap kicked out of him, all right? Having to make the plays. He led the league in touchdowns last year, okay? The other side of it as well is that locker room, that environment that he's been in, he's handled it pretty dang well, right? So I'm just looking at it from a big picture, everything. I'm not talking about talent. Mm. I think Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, those guys that you list off, Drew Brees, I think that they could go in there and they can work with those pieces. But I don't think that they have the same success that Russell Wilson has had with that group.
Well, I'll tell you, Colin Cowherd may very well agree with you. He was on yesterday talking about the Seahawks as a franchise and kind of where they're at. And he looks at it and says, before and after Russell, there's nothing there.
Are people out of their... I'm a Seattleite. This franchise is a zero burger. Russell Wilson, there's two players in the history of this organization, Steve Largent and Russell Wilson. You take them out and you get into like, Walter Jones was awesome, but he was a tackle.
There's more. You want a little bit more, Cowherd? I love this.
Pete Carroll fired twice. Pete Carroll, 7-9, 7-9. Russell Wilson gets drafted. Pete Carroll suddenly, what's the difference? Wins 13 games, 12 games, 11 games, Super Bowls. Richard Sherman was drafted the year before Russell Wilson. When Richard Sherman was the man, they were 7-9. When Russell Wilson got to the team, they started making Super Bowls.
He was not the man the year that Russell got drafted. I mean, it was DeVaris Jackson's team, for God's sakes, and he was gritten through a wounded peck, but
feet
whatever.
A+. Arm A. Brain A. Work ethic A+. It's not hard to figure out. Size? Not ideal.
Never gets old, does it? The funny thing about Cowherd, too, is until now, Pete Carroll's been one of the best coaches in the league. I know we have Cowherd's sound of him saying, look, it takes three things to make a team great. You got to have ownership, you got to have a coach, and you got to have a quarterback. Seahawks, all three. Great owner, all the money in the world, and Paul Allen. Pete Carroll, great coach, had to leave USC, but did an awesome job, knows what he's doing, great new philosophy. And then, of course, Russell Wilson. Like, we have all this sound from Colin, but now all of a sudden he's turned on Pete.
Do you have, like, a quota of impressions that you're trying to hit this week?
Maybe.
I mean, yesterday it was, what, Southern no punting guy.
That's Southern hillbilly hick who only sees football through the way it was played in the 1950s.
Always go for it on the fourth down, yeah.
That's that guy. No, that's sort of a half-hearted impression of Colin, I would say. Yeah. It's half-hearted.
I think it just goes to show, I think the point that he's getting at here is just the impact that three has on this franchise and what he's brought to the table. I just want to list off a couple things. Top five quarterback, check. Super Bowl champ, check. Winning his QB in NFL history in the first six seasons, check. League leader in touchdowns last season, check. He's the perfect face of the franchise for what Pete Carroll and this group wants to do. He's a great role model. Raised $2 million for cancer research, okay? Are the other teams around the league willing to pay him top dollar that he wants? Absolutely, right? So do they have a better QB solution without him? No, they don't. And so I think that's the part that you're looking at here.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
Text message. I'd like to do a poll about Cowherd's Seattle-lightness. I'm calling for revocation. No, come on. We're not going to revoke it. Don't you like that Cowherd claims Seattle and Portland and Los Angeles and New York and Las Vegas? I like that about him. Aberdeen. Isn't he actually from Aberdeen? Is it Aberdeen that he's from, Kyle?
He's from Grayland.
Grayland.
That's but yes, essentially like out at the coast.
Is that like the greater Aberdeen area?
It's like the greater Long Beach area,
oh, okay.
I think, out
it's
near Tokeland.
Okay.
I don't like that.
It's like the way, we're all living in the greater University Place area, as we know. We want their credit when U.S. Open rolls around. All right, what's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
Hey, before you tell everybody, I should mention Jake Heaps is here. I didn't mention again. Sorry. For those of you who are listening, you're going to hear a voice in a moment. It won't be Brock's. Don't panic.
It's okay.
It won't be Tom Brady.
It's all right.
He sounds like Tom Brady, but he's actually Jake Heaps. What's in the news?
The Seahawks signed free agent linebacker Michael Kendricks to a one-year deal. He's awaiting sentencing on insider trading charges.
I think this whole thing is great news. I love it. I love this signing. Seahawks need help at linebacker, and there just so happens to be a starting caliber linebacker just hanging out because of white-collar crime. I'm not saying that that's not a bad thing. It is, and he should absolutely go to jail if he's guilty of it. But in the meantime, he's a non-violent criminal, and he's available? Sign me up, man. He's good.
Yeah, I think it's all about perspective, and I think I have the same perspective you do, but I'm going to go with bad news, and bad news just because we're signing a guy like this because we need it, because we're desperate for it. We're down KJ Wright. Our backups didn't play very good, and so we're hoping Kendricks can fill this void, and he doesn't have a whole lot of time to prepare for Monday night.
He's a good
football player. Yeah, he's a playmaker.
Is he a star? Is he a solid player? Like, where is he? He's a solid player?
As of right now, I don't know if I would say he's a star, but he's a very good football player.
Good news, bad news, no news.
One name that showed up on the Seahawks practice report, the injury report yesterday, and did not practice was Bobby Wagner with a groin injury.
Yeah, this is really, really bad news. I mean, yes. Bobby Wagner is arguably, I mean, take Russell out of it for a moment. He's the best football player on this team, and he's the guy who you just trust to get everybody in the right spot. Now, he did not have necessarily, like, he wasn't otherworldly or anything against Denver. I didn't think he had a bad game, and his tackling ability is still just amazing to me. But the idea of not having Bobby Wagner or KJ Wright, you remember the last time both those guys went out of a game?
Yeah,
it was the Jacksonville game last year where they ran for a third and 11 at the end of the game. It was a disaster.
Yikes.
So, Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright potentially out of one game, that's a huge mess that you don't want to mess with.
Right. I am hoping this is no news, but the fact that he's on here is bad news. We can't afford to not have him on the field. Mm. We cannot, especially with KJ out. We don't have the depth. We need him making the calls out there, being the anchor of this defense. We don't have Bobby Wagner. Man, that doesn't sound good to me.
All right, I got a lot of news here on where Grayland is. So it's upriver of Aberdeen, south of Westport. I thought Colin was from Westport.
We can confirm.
I think he's from Westport, actually. Greater Westport, maybe. The greater Westport
area.
He
was born in Bay Center, Washington.
Huh. I don't know where that is.
Center of the Bay.
Where else would it be?
I have no idea.
In a basket, like Moses.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Now it says he was born in Aberdeen, grew up in Grayland.
Sheesh. But it's all part
this
of the
This is why
West
he's so confused area. About his own identity.
The internet can't even
Where
get
is
it
he?
Right.
Seattle guy, West Coast guy.
We need some investigators on this.
Thursday's deadline passed with no appeals filed against the Key Arena renovation.
Yeah, I know it's great news, but really it's no news. There's no reason for anybody to appeal this. This thing's now going to go to city council. They will vote, and in all likelihood, they're going to pass it because they've done a really good job of lobbying and compromising here along the way. I would expect this to go right through council, and then, look, you're on to the building phase. I mean, in all likelihood, October, when they come in to play this NBA preseason game, that's going to be the final event at Key Arena. Knock that sucker down, move off the roof, and start building to get ready for October 2020. Yeah, we're making significant progress on this thing. I can't wait. I've been there twice now in the last month. I went to go see Smashing Pumpkins, and then I went to go see The Storm last Friday night. And each time I go in there, I'm like, we're going to have a new arena.
Yep.
Like, soon. And obviously, Liddy and I are just jacked about hockey and can't wait. But beyond that, I can't wait to go see a concert there. I can't wait to see basketball there. The Storm in a new building. Just going into a nice, new, fresh, modern building in that area. And I think it's going to revitalize the whole area. I can't wait. I think it's awesome.
It's good news. It just gets me fired up hearing you talk about it. And, I'm excited, man. This city has been dying for NHL. And to get NBA here, I mean, I can't wait. Let's bring it on. Let's get it here ASAP. I haven't been to an NHL game. I've been to a Thunderbirds game.
Okay.
I haven't been to an NHL game.
No disrespect to the Thunderbirds. That's a great league. But it's multiply at times a factor of 10. Like, it's just awesome.
Woo! Yeah. It is fun.
NHL games are the best. And poor Kyle's basically only been in Phoenix, which is the worst environment.
Does it irrelevant to me? It's all I know.
All right.
And I still think it's amazing.
Phoenix is probably a lower, I mean, the production
Don't
value there's
do
as
this
bad
to the
as it gets in the
Gila River
NHL.
Arena, Mike. Respect it.
Kyle. They have a computer monitor at center ice that they put up above.
So it's a little
as a
pixelated.
Jumbotron.
It looks like 8-bit video games. Like, so what?
they're playing RC Pro-Am on the video up there.
That's what you get when it's warm weather hockey. You know? It still feels a little weird.
I can't wait, man. It's going to be great. Also, did you see the Stevie Yzerman news this week? Did you see that, Lydia? So
no.
Steve Yzerman, so just quickly, we don't have anything else on this, do we?
No, it was fake.
All right. Steve Yzerman is a legendary hockey god. He won, I don't know, how many cups in Detroit as the captain of the Red Wings. He is a hockey legend as a player. He then went to Tampa Bay, where he was their GM and president, basically, under Todd Lewicki, and he put together a really, really good Lightning team, and then kind of broke them down and put together another really good Lightning team. One of the best teams in hockey right now, largely because of him as the architect. Well, he quit just the other day. He opted out of his contract there, and there's a lot of speculation because Todd Lewicki was his boss there and is now the president here in Seattle that Steve Yzerman could end up here as the GM. I don't know if that's going to happen, and I have no knowledge of this whatsoever. It's not even a rumor. But if you want to start connecting the dots, I mean, it would be like, I don't know, I don't want to say it would be like adding Theo Epstein to be the GM of your new expansion baseball franchise, but it's not far off of that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, Steve Yzerman is one of the biggest names in executives now in hockey after being arguably the best player in the league for years. So it's a big deal if it ends up happening.
That'd be huge.
It would be awesome. And it's just another example of how this group is professional, how they're doing things the right way, and how at every single step in the process, Oakview Group and now Seattle Hockey Partners have exceeded expectations. It's really, really awesome. All right. Speaking of exceeding expectations, Jake, I don't think you've been here for this yet. Simplest thing we do in the entire week, open phone lines. Any argument that you have been trying to make this week to your friends, to your buddies, to the people in your local bar, wherever you hang out, something that has been on your mind sports-wise that you've got to get off your chest. So it can be about Russell Wilson and the way he's viewed. It can be leftover thoughts on the article Rip and Russ. It can be the way they played last week, what you expect against Chicago on Monday. It can be the Huskies. It can be Jake Browning. It can be their running game. It can be their defense. It can be Chris Peterson. Coug fans who are always desperate to get on the air. Your team's 2-0 and battling a good Eastern squad. If you've got a thought about where the Cougs are at, we're ready. The Storm, the Sounders, the hockey arena, you name it. We are open to anything. The rest of the NFL, the Mariners, God forbid. 206-421-3776. Anything on any subject, whatever's on your mind, you call us up and make your point next on Brock and Salk.